My name is Mark Hannay. I'm director of Metro New York Healthcare for All. We're a coalition of community groups and labor unions in New York City that work together for healthcare justice and universal healthcare. When it comes to healthcare, New York has a long history as a leader state with support from both sides of the political aisle. Our Medicaid and child health insurance programs are among the best in the country. Because of our state's robust implementation of the Affordable Care Act, our general uninsurance rate is now less than 5%, less than 2% for children. Insurance premium rates in our individual market dropped by 50%, and that market has roared back to life from a mere 20,000 participants to now more than 400,000 New Yorkers. We congratulate our state leaders on these accomplishments. However, over 1 million New Yorkers still remain uninsured, and many of the rest of us struggle to afford our premiums, deductibles, and copayments, to pay for our sky-high drug prices, to get the proper care we need from very narrow health insurance company networks, which get skinnier by the day. And we often have to fight with our insurance company bean counters to get the services and drugs that we need. Clearly, the status quo is not acceptable, and change must happen. The good news is that New York can build on our proud history, and we can keep moving forward toward true universal health care. We're here today to call on Governor Cuomo and our state legislature to invest in that goal. In the short term, we call on them to provide funding to community-based organizations, to reach out and find those who are still uninsured, to increase financial assistance programs to help people be able to buy and use health insurance, and to expand our state's existing health insurance programs to all New Yorkers, regardless of their legal documentation status. In the longer term, we call on our state leaders to craft a fully universal health care program that guarantees comprehensive quality, affordable, accessible, and accountable health care for all the residents of our state. We urge them to take up the New York Health Act, a landmark bill sponsored by Senator Gustavo Rivera and Assemblymember Richard Gottfried, as the template to work from and to work toward. We stand ready to enthusiastically work with them on such an effort.
Jasmine Gripper, Legislative Director for the Alliance for Quality Education. We know the federal government is experiencing a shutdown right now, but we are expecting our New York state leaders to lead and govern and be effective and efficient in our upcoming state budget process. We are tired of our children and families and schools not being a priority. We need to make sure that our schools have the funding that they need to succeed. Every year, students are told that their path to success is dependent on them having a quality education. But how do they have a quality education when they attend schools that are crumbling? When they have schools that don't have access to internet or computers, when they don't have AP courses, art or music, or even gym sometimes. We are tired of a system of haves and have-nots when it comes to education. We need a high-quality education in public schools for all students across the entire state of New York. And in order to do that, our state needs to fully fund its own formula, the Foundation Aid formula. According to the State Education Department, our schools are owed $4 billion. We need that money, and we need it now. We're looking for the governor, the Assembly, and the Senate to pass a budget that fully funds schools across the state. Thank you. Yeah. Next kid and friend, Mark Emanation from the Capital District Labor Federation.
So the minimum wage went up a couple days ago, and that's really good news. And there's some lessons in it. When the 200 fast food workers went out on strike in New York City many years ago, and they said, we want $15 an hour and a union, everyone thought they were crazy and that would never happen. People actually, many advocates at that time said you should be fighting for $10.10 an hour over many years, and that's what's possible, and that's what you should be fighting for. But they didn't want that. They fought for $15. And I'll tell you something. In 21 states the other day, they raised the minimum wage. But in 21 states. But 20 states still have $7.25 an hour, the federal, which hasn't been raised in 9 years. And Puerto Rico suffers with $6.55 an hour as their minimum wage. So that's one lesson of it. Another lesson of that fight is that the $11.10 an hour that we have now in upstate New York is still poverty wages. It's not even $24,000 a year. There's no possible way you can live on it in any part of New York State for a family of one, let alone a family of four, which is a federal poverty guideline. And as we know, there's millions of New Yorkers living in poverty. So there's a lot of jobs. Every day I see people saying we got jobs and no one to fill them. Well, that's because the jobs that we have do not pay living wages. And we need living wages that provide a decent standard of living for the people that are working these hard jobs. And we need unions to fight for that. That's my opinion. But besides all of that, we need to have people here recognize that $11.10 an hour is not enough to live on. $12.50 an hour is not enough to live on. And the $15 an hour in New York City is not enough to live on. So we're calling for living wages. And I think that it's time to remember that we're fighting for what we want and need, not what we're told is possible. Thank you. Yeah. Reverend Dustin Wright, the president of the New York State Council of Churches, is next.
So here's the deal. From a New York State Council of Churches, from a faith perspective, when we're talking about a budget, we're you know, you can call it a progressive budget if you want. You know, we're not, but that's not really a good way to think about it. From our perspective, it's not a progressive budget, or it shouldn't be a conservative budget, but rather a boldly moral budget, right? Yeah, right. And one of the best ways you can do that, of course, from my Christian perspective, is to read the Bible. But the really sweet thing is that you only need to read the first page to learn about what we're talking about. So I'm speaking partially about protecting the climate, preventing climate change and protecting the environment. But really, over and over again, on the very first page of the Bible, God creates and God calls creation good. He sees that it's good. And we ought to help keep it that way. And near the end of that first page, he talks about how the folks, us human beings, ought to care for it, and how we're completely created in the image of God as well. And so that's why it's so important that in this upcoming budget cycle, as we develop a deeply moral budget, that we care for our environment, that we lift up the legislation for like the Community Climate Protection Act, and also that we do all these other things as well that help everyone live fully into being people that are children of God. And so I'm so thankful for all these advocates here, and as well folks here to just cover this important work. With that said, I'd like to also invite Mark Dunley Ford, who is the chairperson of the Green Education and Legal Fund.
So this is the 30th year that I've stood here for the people's state of the state. And when the Hunger Action Network and other groups started it 30 years ago, it was because the issues of poverty and hunger and homelessness were never addressed in the governor's formal State of the State address. And all those issues we've heard here today are still a concern. But in recent years, we've also added on the issue of climate change. And that is because in New York State, in the United States, and across the planet, it is poor people who are the principal victims of climate change. They're the ones that are forced to climb on the roof of their houses as the waters, lap up to the second floor. They're the ones who are forced to flee their homes when famines hit. They're the ones who are forced to run when the wildfires come. And so it's been very exciting in the last month or two to see people like our new congressman from New York City, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, talk about a Green New Deal, something that even Governor Cuomo is now talking about. And we really hope that when Governor Cuomo releases his budget, that the Green New Deal that he is talking about is similar to the Green New Deal that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is talking about. And that is worldwide mobilization to deal with climate change by 2030. The IPCC said we have 12 years left for humanity to take unprecedented worldwide global action so that we can save life on this planet. The idea that we now talk, not in science fiction, but on our day-to-day work with scientists, that there's a possibility within this century that civilization as we know it may end and that human species may go extinct frightens me. It does not appear to frighten the people, though, in this state capital. Hardly any of the news reports I have seen have put climate change at the top of the list as to what state legislators plan to enact this year. We want the Off Fossil Fuels Act, 100% renewable by 2030, but we also want the New Deal part of it, which is what people here talk so much about. We've got to make healthcare a human right. We have to make college free. We have to increase funding for education. We have to expand access to affordable housing, healthcare, single-payer healthcare. And as we saw some of the protests in France, if we are going to win the struggle to deal with climate change, it must be combined with the struggle to win economic justice for everybody. We need a just transition. We need to ensure that existing workers and communities that are dependent upon fossil fuels are taken care of. We need to target the funding for these programs, climate change action, to the communities that are most vulnerable and the most disadvantaged. So I hope that the governor's Green New Deal gets a round of applause from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and I'm sure she'd be willing to consult with them on it.